So we're up to Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, about two lines down from the top. But let's just review what we know about a concept called a Dover Charif, something that's very sharp. Normally, we have a concept called a Tam Kolosh. So for example, if you have a Kli that was Bolea, a Tam, and now you use that Kli on some foodstuff, then the tam that came from the original food into the kli, and now from the kli into the second food, that's already called a tam kolsh. It's a secondary tam, or a weaker tam. And such a tam doesn't generate isur. And if that be the case, if you took a fleishik, a knife, and you cut, let's say in this case, a radish, you should be allowed to eat that radish with milchiks. And the reason for that is because the tam goes from the meat into the knife, from the knife into the radish. That's called nat bar nat, and that's a tam kolsh. But yet, Abai says it's also, you're not allowed to use that radish that was cut with a fleishik knife with milchiks. You can't put it into kutach. And Rashi offers two explanations for this. Rashi's first explanation is because of something called Shamnunis Basar, that there's some sort of a film on the outside of the knife of meat, even though you've cleaned it off, but it's there. Rashi's second explanation is because tznon, a radish, is called a dover charif. And mitol charifuso shel tznon, as a result of the fact that the radish is sharp, hu bolea es hatam habolua besakin. And this we discussed yesterday at great length, that the Dover Charif has the power to take a Tam Kolush and upgrade it to a Tam Shvach, a Tam Gomor, a complete Tam. Now Rashi adds another point, and that is that there's Docha Kasak in here, that the knife puts a certain pressure on the food. The food here is a Dover Charif, and the combination thereof converts and upgrades a Tam Kolush into a Tam Gomor. Fine. Now the last thing we discussed yesterday was what's included under this category of Tam Kolush, of a Dover Charif. So we had a case of Tznon, and that's for sure. And the Rishonim here add other cases, like for other categories of food, like for example, Shumin and Krishim, which is called Karsi Vitzolim. So you have onions and garlic. However, the Gemara excludes the case of Kishos. Kishos are something like zucchini or cucumbers, and we mentioned yesterday that Rashi calls it a Masok on the top Rashi on Kuf Yud Beis. Rashi means that it doesn't have Charifus, and therefore the tam that's bolua is now a tam kolsh, because as we said before, when he cuts the zucchini with a fleishik knife, the meat went into the knife, from the knife into the zucchini, and that's called a tam kolsh. It's a secondary tam. In such a case, everything's butter, and you can take this cucumber and use it for milchiks, no problem. Now, the Gemara doesn't give you a smooth landing here. What do I mean? The Gemara says that although you cut the knife with, you use the fleishik knife to cut the zucchini, and zucchini is not a dover charif, and therefore we still have what's called a tam kolush, but nevertheless the Gemara adds a certain reservation, a certain condition. And that is Gorir Lebei Piske. You may remember this was the last thing that we discussed yesterday, which is on the top line here on the daf. And it means that you have to scrape off the top of the zucchini. And now we can ask the question, why is that so? Since it's not a Dover Charif, then why is it necessary to scrape off the top? So the Ramban explains that although it's not a Dover Charif, that element in the equation is lacking, because a cucumber or a zucchini is not sharp like a radish or an onion or garlic, but nevertheless, what it does have is, in this case, is docha kasakin. We have the knife that's pushing and pressuring the vegetable. And as a result of the docha kasakin, there's a little bit, a minimum of blia, and you have to remove that blia. The only way you can do so is with grera. That's the Ramban's first explanation. Then the Ramban gave a second explanation, you may recall, that the Gemara doesn't absolutely require grera to scrape off the top, but grera is another alternative for hadacha. And hadacha means all you'd have to do is rinse off this vegetable in cold water and then use it for kutach. The Rashba writes that it's impossible to do hadacha successfully on a soft vegetable. And on the contrary, if you subject this vegetable to hadacha, you're only going to make matters worse. It's going to mavlia even yoser. Therefore, the only takana is grera, not hadacha. So we have, just to summarize, we have machlokas here between the Ramban and the Rashba. The Ramban says that grera, scraping off the top layer, is one alternative, and the other is hadacha. And the Rashba disagrees and says hadacha is not an alternative.
Does that imply that hadacha is not simply putting it under running water or putting it in a tub of water, but also rubbing it? Because however soft the vegetable is, just putting it under running water is not going to mess it up.
The only question I have is if that you're going to rub it, then maybe that's the same as grera. I don't know. Maybe grera scrapes it deeper. I don't know.
Okay.
Let's go on with the Rashba. This we didn't get to yesterday. The Rashba says the following. That we have to derive a very important conclusion from this requirement of grera that the Gemara establishes in the case of kishos of this cucumber or the zucchini. If you recall, Rashi says that when you cut a radish with a fleshka knife, there are two issues that have to be addressed. The first one was the shamnunis habasar hakrushal asakin, that there's a film of oily meat substance that covers the outside of the sakin. Then Rashi went on to say that because it's a dover charif, therefore it's going to remove the tam of the basar that's balua in the sakin. The Rashba says that this gemara of grera in the case of kishos, which is a dover masok, it's not a dover charif, will prove conclusively that Rashi's first pshat is correct, rather than his second pshat. Because in Rashi's first pshat, where you're worried about the sakin, because the sakin has this film of shamnunis basar on it, then it applies even to the case of kishos, hence we understand why you have to scrape off the top layer. But if you go with Rashi's second pshat, that the whole problem of cutting a radish with a fleshka knife is because of the dover charif, then in the case of kishos, again zucchini, why should there be any requirement of grera? It's not a dover charif at all. It's a dover masak. So why do we assume there's any tam that's going from the basar inside the sakin and now penetrating into the even the surface level of the cucumber, since we don't have a dover charif? So Rashi's second interpretation stands and falls with a dover charif. If you go with Rashi's first interpretation, then we understand why you require grera. So Anochi Akatan, little birds on here, I don't understand this Rashba. I'll tell you honestly why. Because if you're going to go with Rashi's first pshat of Shamdunis Shel Basar on top of the Sakin, then what's the difference between Snon and a Dovar She'eno Charif, a Dovar Masok, as we called it, Kishos? Because in both cases, you're telling me that the problem is in the sakin. The problem is not in the foodstuff that you're cutting with the knife, but rather in the knife itself. Well, if it's in the knife itself, then why differentiate between tznon and kishos? Because in the case of tznon, we said that it's not enough to do grera, but rather kishos absolutely cannot be used in kutach. So obviously, in the case of tznon, we're talking about a serious blia. We're not talking about some surface level of shamnunis on the sakin that has to be wiped off or rinsed off or scraped off or whatever you want to call it. So that part of this discussion of the Rashba I did not understand. But what I do want to share with you is the Mordechai. Now, this Mordechai might possibly shed a light on this Rashba. I'm not sure. But let's go through the Mordechai. The Mordechai writes that even Kishos has a certain element of Harifus to it. It's not pure Musok. And the reason why our sugi requires Grera in the case of Kishos is because Nivla Batam Basar Mihasakin Ktsas. That is a, in other words, now we're talking about Dover Charif in a relative kind of thing. There are three levels. On one extreme, we have a Dover Masok. It's totally sweet, so to speak. It has no Harifus whatsoever. On the other extreme, we have a Dover Charif, and we gave those classical cases of a Dover Charif. In the middle, you have this case of Kishos, according to the Mordechai. And according to the Mordechai, we now begin to understand the difference between Grera, in the case of Kishos, and the Isur of using the food with Kutach, in the case of Tznon, of a Dover Charif. In the case of a Dover Charif, the Blia is a full-fledged Blia. Why? Because even though it's a Tam Kolish, the Dover Charif, the Harifus takes out the Kolish, the weak Tam, and upgrades it, intensifies it to a Tam Gomor. Therefore, there's a Blia of Tam in the Tznon, in the Dover Charif, and you can't get rid of that by Greira. Masha Enkein, in the case of Kisho, says the Mordechai, that's the middle level. It has a certain element of Harifus to it, but it's not full-fledged Charif. So on a scale from 0 to 100, it's only at 50. It's not 100% Charif, it's 50% Charif. And what you end up with, says the Mordechai, is this middle ground, which is called Grera. So the Prima Gadim tries to explain that according to this, perhaps we can understand the second interpretation of Rashi. Rashi says in his second interpretation about Tznon, why is it that Tznon cannot be used with Kutach? So Rashi in his second explanation says it's because of the Dover Charif, because the Harifus upgrades the Tam, as we said before. Says the Prima Gadim, the reason why, according to Rashi's second shot, Kishos need Grera, and after all, we assume that Kishos is not a Dover Charif, leaving out the Mordechai, is Mishum Shedochak HaSakin Gorem Lo Liflot Es Tam HaBosa Baluaba. That even though Kishos is a Dover Mosok, and it has no element of Harifus, nevertheless, there is some element of Tam, of Blias HaTam, and that is a result of Dochak HaSakin. So if you recall that Rashi's second pshat about Tznon, why you can't use the Tznon that was covered with flesh and knife, in Milchik's, what Rashi combined A plus B. He combined the fact that it's Tznon is a Dover Charif with the fact that the Sakin is Duchka de Sakin and has a Dochak to it. And the Nafkamina is now going to be in the case of Kishos, because although Kishos is lacking in the element number one of Dover Charif, but it does have, in this case where you cut it with a flesh and knife, the element of Duchka de Sakina. So the Prima Gadim wants to say that that gives us this middle ground. Just like in the case of the Mordechai classified Kishos as something that has Harifus, but it's not totally Harif, and therefore it has a Miktas Blia, limited Blia. You can use it with Kutah, but we require Grera first. So too, says the Prima Gadim, according to Rashi's second interpretation, that the reason why in the case of Tznon it is Asur B'Kutach, that means it's a complete Bli of Basar, is because it has two elements. Number one, it is a Dover Charif. Number two, there's the Docha Kasakin. We now have a lower level of Blia in the case of Kishos when he cuts the vegetable with a knife. So that even though the vegetable is not a Dover Charif, but it has the element here of Duchke de Sakina, and therefore there is some sort of Pleita Asatam of Basa that goes into at least the surface level of the cucumber, and as a result, although it's not a Tam Bolua, you can use it with Kutach, but you need to be Gorer to cut off the Mokum Achtach, in other words, wherever there was contact between the knife and the cucumber or the zucchini, at that point you need to remove that Tam Balua, that surface level Blia, and that's achieved through Grera. Okay, all this is what we attached to yesterday's Shia. Now we start today's Shia. We're looking here on the second line. Kilcha de lifta. Now, lefes is a kind of a turnip, and it has klachim to it. It has certain, like, what would be a good English word for klachim? You know, the
stems, maybe?
I don't know stems, but you know those vegetables that you can peel? You know, they're beautifully formed. It's almost like a piece of art. It's a divine piece of art. You know, it has different sections to it, and you peel it off. Like, for example, if you've ever eaten an artichoke, you know what I mean? So that's called klachim. And it seems that the lifter also has these klachim, meaning you could peel off different layers of the turnip. But what's the status of lifta? And here we have to ask two questions. Question number one, is it a davar charif, which means if you cut it with a fleishig knife, you're not allowed to use it with kutach? And question number two is, even if I grant you that it's not a davar charif, but rather it's a davar masog, is it similar to kishos? And therefore, I would require grera. Or do we say no, that it's not even similar to kishos, it's completely a dover masuk legamre on the lowest level, there's no bliya from the fleshka knife, you're allowed to eat this turnip with kutach, even without gerera. So if you look at the Gemara has one word here. We have to take our cue from this word shari. Shari it's mut, means you're allowed to eat it with kutach. So the Rishonim say that since the Gemara uses the word shari in contrast to the previous Gemara about kishos, which says garale v'yachil, you don't even require greyer in this case. So if we go with the Mardechai, we're going to assume that although in the case of kishos there's some element of charifus, in the case of lefes, of lifta, there's absolutely zero element of charifus. And if there's no charifus at all, you don't even need the barest minimum to remove the tam that's on the surface of greira. So there's no requirement to greira. However, the Rashba claims that even if you don't require greira, there's even one level below that before we get to Efes, and that's called hadocha. And even though the Gemara used the word shari, which sounds like you just simply take this lefes and cook it in a milchika pot or put it into the kutach and have fun with it. Says the Rashba, the word shari here means shari that there's no real blia. Grera is a kind of an action that's going to be applicable and appropriate for blia, to get rid of a certain level, even though it's a surface level, but it's you have to scrape off that surface. But in the case of lefes, says the Rashba, what we have here is a requirement of hadocha. So you take this lefes that was cut with a fleshing knife, you rinse it off carefully in cold water, and then you can use the lefes with milchiks. The Ran says, I don't understand the Rashba, the Gemara says shari. The Gemara doesn't add a qualification here that you must have hadocha. And therefore the Ran comes to the conclusion that we take the Gemara literally at face value, and shari means that the lefes is mutter, just put it into your kutach, shalom al Yisrael, you don't require neither grera nor hadocha. And the Rosh says that maybe this depends upon the two interpretations of Rashi. If you go with Rashi's second interpretation, that the reason why it's known as Osir is because it's no same tam bar no same tam, and a davar charif makes the tam kolish into a tam gomur, he says that has no application whatsoever in the case of lefes. But if you go with Rashi's alternative interpretation, that there's a problem with the sakin, and the knife itself has some sort of mamashis of shamnunis shal basar, a film that covers the outside of the sakin, so he says that in that case, even if you have something that's a davar masuk legamre, like for example lefes, it doesn't even require grera, like we did in the case of kishos, nevertheless, it would require hadocha. So in the framework of the Rosh, the machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran is really identical with the two interpretations of Rashi in the case of Tznon. And just to summarize, because Hoshi came a minute late, the question that Rashi vacillates about is, in the case where you cut Tznon with a fleshka knife, is the issue the Tznon or is the issue the knife? If the issue is the knife, we might apply it even in the case of a davar masuk, at least to require hadocha, maybe even to upgrade it to grera. If it's an issue, not in the knife, but rather in the tznon itself, because it's charifus, then it should not apply in the case of lefes, and probably not even in the case of kishos. Now the Gemara talks about silka. Silka means one of two things. Silka either means beets, or more likely it means spinach. Now, in modern Hebrew, the word selek is usually used for beets, but in Aramaic, the word silka, back in the Gemara's time, is used for what we call today taradin or tered. Tered is a kind of a leaf, a spinach leaf. When I was a kid, it was all about Popeye the Sailorman. I don't know if anybody can date themselves that high. I don't know if Popeye is still around, but he used to eat tered. He was a big... He was a big spinach guy. You remember? Anybody remember?
Okay, sure.
Oh, you do remember. Okay.
Of course.
Some Popeye the Sailor Man. Now, Rashi clearly identifies silka as taradin. And the question is, what is the status of taradin, of this leaf? It has a certain element of sharpness to it.
How do you know Rashi? I'm looking at Rashi.
Rashi Dibra Maskel V'i. See if you can find Rashi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't look at that one yet. I'm sorry.
Okay. But what I wanted to point out was that we really have to analyze the case of Tardin under the following two categories. One category would be Tznon, which means to Dover Charif, which means if you cut it with a fleshka knife, you absolutely cannot eat it with Kutach. Or shall we classify it as Kishos, which is a dover muscle, in which case you might require grera, or perhaps you could even lower it to the level of lefes. And if it's as low as the level of lefes, then you might not require anything, or minimally, as we said in the name of the Rashba, you would require hadocha. So the Gemara, to our surprise, says asiri. And Rashi explains that asiri means it has the same status as a radish that was cut with a knife, a fleshka knife, and you're not allowed to eat it with kutach. No way, no how. Now, this would seem to indicate that tardin, tered, is a davar charif. And it has a certain element of charifus. However, keep in mind, even in the case of tznon, Rashi had offered another interpretation of tznon, and that was the shamnunis habasar, that because the knife has a certain film, if you could call it that, of fatty, meaty, oily substance on the outside, that's why the tznon cannot be eaten with kutach. If we apply that logic to the case of silka, we can say that the reason why if you cut spinach leaves with a fleshka knife, you're not allowed to use those spinach leaves in the context of milchiks, is because the knife itself has a certain element of shamnunis. And if you remember yesterday, we had a long discussion, how long will that shamnunis last? At what point do we say the shamnunis is removed, he's cleaned the knife thoroughly, and we don't have to worry about that? Furthermore, if Rashi will apply the principle of shamnunis habasar on the outside of the knife to the case of silka, meaning this tered that was cut with a fleshka knife, then we begin to wonder, asiri means that it's like tznon. Are we saying, therefore, that even if it's not a dover charif, you're not allowed to eat it with milchiks because of the shamnunis shel basar? If that be the case, what are we going to do with kishos? What are we going to do with lefes? Right, in the case of kishos and lefes, we allowed you to cook it with milchiks or put it into kutach. We weren't so worried about the shamnunis. We may have required grero because of the shamnunis, if you remember our discussion. We may have required hadocha. But at the end of the day, there's no real serious blia of a tam basar inside kishos or lefes. Why is tered different? And the easiest, simplest way of going here would be to say that tered is a dover charif. But if you take a look here in the Rashba says, afal pi she'ein hasilka charifa, that selek, which we identified as spinach leaves, is not charif. Mikol makom he ne'eseres. Nevertheless, you can't eat it with with Kutach. Now, the question is why? If you remember, the Rashbo was the one who accepted Rashi's second interpretation, that the problem is not in the Shamnunis Basar on the knife, but in the Harifus of the foodstuff that you're cutting that's known. Now, if you're identifying Tered as something that is not Snown, it's not Harif like Snown, then why does the Gemara say it's Asur? Says the Rashba, maybe somebody can help me with this, that Afal Pi She'ena Harifa, nevertheless Neseres Mipnei Shehi Mosheches B'tiv'a. Mosheches, which literally means it pulls, it drags. So we're talking about some sort of element in the physics or in the biology of vegetables, where you can have a vegetable that even though it's not what? It's not sharp, it would not fit into the category of onions or garlic or radishes, but nevertheless it has a certain element which is called Meshichas Hatav. That it's, again, I don't know what word to use in English, because, you know, I can't use the word sweet, I can't use the word sharp. The Rashba is sort of generating a whole new category. It's Moshechas Hatav.
The Metifta doesn't explain.
Whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
What do you say?
He's saying that the
oh, what is the? I need that blank word. The something of the teret of the
whatever vegetable is, whichever it is. Its nature is to draw in whatever's out there.
Right. But so, I wonder what that nature is. I'm looking for a word. I don't know. It bothers me that I can't come out with a word.
No. But up until now, we needed harif. Harif absorbs. Not harif doesn't absorb. Now the Rosh Ba is coming up with this totally
new category. Right. It's not harif, but it's Moshe Katav. So I'm just wondering, what is in the nature of Tered? You know, I'm missing that we've been spending a lot of time on Hilchas Bliya. We could write a Shulchan Aruch of Hilchas Bliya. And we've had all sorts of categories, and Bliya generates an Iser, or Bliya generates a require of Kedei Netila and Kedei Klipa, when sometimes, you know, Bliya is enough to require Adacha and Grera. We have all these categories of Bliya. And we always try to give a name to that category. I'm just saying that the Rashba is in a sense tickling my brain over here, saying there's something that's Moshech Tam, even though it's not a Dover Charev. V'lachein, and therefore says the Rashba in the case of Tered, Hatam Nivla Ba Kibitz Non. It has the same repercussion, or how shall I say, the same impact and effect as it's known as a Dover Charev. Okay. Then the Gemara makes the following comment. V'i pasach behu delifta shapir dome. This is really interesting. He cuts two different vegetables, one after the other.
What's pasach? Patach?
Oh, patach means he combines two different chituchim in this case. Chituchim means, again, you know, we're talking about a knife. And he cuts one chaticha, one chituch, I should say, one slicing of lefes, right? Lefes, mm-hmm. That was the previous case which we said is mutter, right? Because it's completely a davar masok, it has no element of harifas, it's not moshech tam, it's garnished. And then afterwards, he immediately, with the same knife, he cuts tered. He cuts, we call it spinach leaves.
One after the other?
One after the other.
Okay.
That's called pasach. Pasach means he did one and then the other. And now, shapir domi. Everything is fine. And you're allowed to take this lefes, and you're allowed to take the silka, which we said was tered, and add both of them, if you like, to the kutach. Each one, you don't have to add both of them to the kutach.
Is this only with the selik, or is this with any with harif?
I don't know. I'll tell you the truth, Eric. I don't understand the halacha itself. If I understood the halacha, why this is so? I mean, after all, it's very nice that he started by cutting a lefes, but at the end of the day, he cuts tered, and we just said that tered, there is a tam balua as a result of the tered, and it's also you're not letting it in kuta. So what did he do? Did he purify the knife? Like he took the knife and he put it into a mikvah? I'm just using that, you know, lesaber to ozen here. So just give me 1 second. So Rashi comes up with a new svara over here. And the one who embellishes this is the Sefer HaTruma in the Tur. The Tur quotes the Sefer HaTruma. And they say basically that why is it mutter, even though Tered usually is also bakutat when you cut it with a fleshig knife? Mipnesha mesikus halefes, right? He started by cutting a turnip, which is sweet. Again, the word sweet means it has no harifus at all. Veha mesikus halefes mivateles tam mehasakin. Now, Rabosai, honestly, this makes sense according to Rashi's first interpretation. Right? Let's go back to Tznon. Rashi says if you cut a radish with a fleshik knife, you can't use it for kutav. Why? Because there's a tam balua of basar in the sakin. That tam is called a tam kolush. But the harifus of the radish of the Tznon is able to upgrade and intensify that tam to the level of what? A tam gomor. It's no longer a tam kolush. That was one interpretation of Rashi. Then Rashi gave another interpretation that the problem is in the knife, because the knife has a certain shamnunus. So I say the following. This Gemara makes a lot of sense, and we'll soon see the Rashba here, if you're talking about a case of shamnunus ala sakin. Then perhaps you can understand, again, I'm not saying I totally understand this, but that the lefes, which was the first chituch, cleans off the outside shamnunis on the sakin. Are you with me so far? And therefore, when you cut the tered with this sakin, if the problem is going to be the shamnunis, you've already solved your problem. Again, I'm going to have to come to a radical conclusion here, that it's very possible to cut a radish, a tznon, with a fleshig knife and eat that radish with milchiks. Why? Because first I'm going to cut a turnip, if you follow my point. In other words, what I'm trying to point out here is I don't know why the Gemara adds this whole piece, this whole proviso, in the context of tered. Forget about tered. Let's go back to the original. Let's go back to tznon. If you're telling me that both in tznon and tered, the issue is shamnunis shalabasa, and if you're telling me that by cutting it first with a lefes, which is a sweet vegetable, you remove the shamnunis on the top of the knife, so tell me that in the case of tznon. Why did Gemara wait until now? That's what bothers my mind. Okay, so maybe it's not such a kasha. Maybe the Gemara waited for the whole sugya, and at the end of the sugya, it adds on a postscript. But that postscript goes back to the beginning of the sugya of tznon as well. But Rabosai, if you go with Rashi's other interpretation, that the problem with tznon is because the dove charif takes out the tama balua in the sakin, then what difference does it make if he cuts a lefes first? You're going to have to say something unbelievable. That the lefes is like a hagolah. It's like a process of heksher kalev. And it mamish removes a tam balua. Now, I have to tell you, Rabosai, the only absolute rule that I can give you about heksher kalev, and this is absolute, is it requires heat. There's no such thing as being makshir a kli that has a blia in it without something that's hot. How hot is hot? So we have many shitos. You could have one shita that says it's enough of iri kli rishon. You could have another shita that says it's enough of tziatzoletespo. You have another shita that says you need resichus where the bubbles are coming up on top of the water. But no one would say that I could take a kli, can I borrow this? Yeah. That has a tam balua and just dunk it into cold water. You know what I'm saying?
But a knife you could stick in the ground, though.
Okay, good, but
so that's
but
not heat, and so there's
but okay, the eats of a karka. Oh, so Eric is right. I mean, the fact that there is such a concept as the eats of a karka, we have to go through all our lofas of when the eats of a karka works.
Is it heat or is it?
It's heat.
Maybe it's heat. But to say that, you know, I have a kli here and I just cut a lefes with it. I take the knife and I cut a lefes in Shalom Al Yisrael. So I want to share with you a note here in the name of the Tur, and the Tur himself is quoting the Sefer HaTruma. By the way, I'm not sure who the author of the Sefer HaTruma was. I know he was a Sephardic Rishon. I have a copy of the Sefer HaTruma, which I bought because it has the Gedulei Truma. The Gedulei Truma was a super commentary on the Sefer HaTruma. He really opened up the Sefer HaTruma. It's a book this thick. I have the original. And it was published in Venice about three and a half centuries ago. And I have it, it's in great shape. The reason I bought it is because the Gedulei Tshuva's name was Azaria. So I felt a certain connection to it. He was an Italian, his name was Azaria Fago, was his last name.
This is different from Trumat Hadeshen?
Totally different. Trumas Hadeshen is already an Ashkenazi. His name was Isserles. He had the same last name as the Ramah. I'm not sure if they were from the same family. I don't know.
Mother-in-law's family.
What did he say?
Mother-in-law's family.
Right, mother-in-law's family.
Yes, mother-in-law.
So the Torah writes the following. Hu Adin, meaning the same law that we just learned now, applies af im li'achar chituch ha-lefes, after he cut the lefes, chatach b'sakin zu tznon. The Gemara is not talking about teret only. Teret is just one example of a davar charif. But if you have tznon, the same din would apply. She'ena bolas es tama bosa, that the tznon will no longer be able to take out the tam of the bosa from the sack because he used it first to cut what? To cut a lefes. Aharashba sover, the Rashba disagrees, and he says, Ein chituch lefes matir lachtoch acharea tznon, the ein chituch lefes moel el inyan tered. Why? Because tered is kol isurum hu mishum mishichas hatam. So remember that the Rashba created, in the case of Teren, he broke new ground. He said, in addition to Dovah Charev, there's something called Teren, which is Moshe Chatam, even though it's not Charev. And he says that Moshe Chatam is one level, one rung lower than Dovah Charev. So with a Dovah Charev, you have a full-fledged Bliya, and Hilkos Bliya, you have a Tam Gomor. In the case of a Dovah Moshe Chatam, it's just one half a notch lower than Bliya of Tam Mamish. And the Nafkamina is going to be the case where you cut a lefes. If you cut a lefes, and now you're about to cut with the same fleshika knife, a tznon, which is a davar charif, that's not going to do it for you. You can't purify the knife simply by cutting a lefes. But if you're talking about tered, which is an iser, not because of charif, but rather because it's Moshe Tam, whatever that word is that I simply don't know, you know, how to give the baby a name, then in such a case, the mesikus alefes mevatelus es koach meshichas hater. This is so difficult to. Could you imagine, Rabosai, if I was a professor in a university and I got up in front of a class of students and I had to explain this one line in the Rashba? Let me hear the Rashba again. He says that in the case of tznon, which is iser machmas karifus, ein chituch alefes moil. When is chatichus alefes moil? He says that's only linyan teret, because after the cutting of the lefes, I cut teret. Umesikus halefes mevateles koach meshicha shal teret. It could not be mevatel the koach blia of a davacharif of its known, but it's able to be mevatel the koach meshicha of a teret. So I mean, it's like you. I hate to use the pun here of a knife, because we're talking about knives here, but he's like splitting it with a sharp knife. Yeah.
So this is very different, though, than the other opinion, I mean, and then Rashi's view as to what this means, because according to Rashi, you could be alternate, you could do the
chituch,
right? You could, and but then you could do charif afterwards, and or you could do whatever you want afterwards, and it's as if the knife is okay.
Well, I don't want to blame Rashi for that, if you don't mind.
Okay.
That's a Sefer Truma.
Okay.
I just want to get the names right.
Whereas the Rashba says that it's according for the.
Yeah, because the Sefer Truma is going to interpret Teret as another example of a Dovah Charif. I mean, the whole reason why Teret is Asa is for the same reason that Tznon is Asa. The Gemara makes no distinction. It was the Rashba who came up with this distinction. The Rashba was bothered because he thought Teret is not a Dovah Charif. Apparently, there's another way to go over here, and you could call Tered Dovah Charif. If you're going to call Tered Dovah Charif, all the dinim that apply to Tered apply by equation to Tznon. So if there's a din in Tered that I first cut with the same knife a lefis, and then I can use it for Tered, then the same thing is going to apply if I cut it Tznon afterwards, and that's the Sefer Truma.
But why does it not say it by Tered? Why doesn't it say Charifa?
It's not Charif.
Say it again one more time, I'm sorry.
Why by the Tered?
Yeah.
doesn't the Gemara say the reason is because it's Charifa? Why
right, so that the Rashba builds a lot on that. Right. The Rashba says, it just says Asiri, which means you're not letting put it into Kutach after you cut it with a fleshy knife. So what's the problem with this leaf of a spinach? He comes up with a new thing called Mashiach HaSatam. Other Rishonim, amongst them the Sefer Truma, they understood that the word Asiri here means that the Gemara is just going through an analysis of various vegetables to figure out which fit into the category of a Dover Charif. We started with Tznon, and now we're adding Teret to the list, and that's why it says Asiri. You can't use it with Kutach. Now, one of the super commentaries on the Rosh is called the Divrei Chamudos. It's in the back of your Gemara. And he wants to say the following. That what is the essence, the fundamental point here of the machlokas between the Sefer HaTruma, and the Torah accepts the Sefer HaTruma, and the Rashba. And he says the following. So let me get it here. Oh. HaMachlokas zu nemro l'shitasam means there's a certain consistency here. Sefer HaTruma sover that din tznon nemar gam b'shar dvarim hacharifim. Now I'm not sure what he means here by gam b'shar dvarim hacharifim. I guess it means, well, I guess it'll be clearer in another minute, but I'm just guessing what's coming around the bend, that tznon is just a paradigm of an entire set, of an entire category. And therefore he says, according to the Sefer HaTruma, it makes sense that Silka, which we define as Tered, is Asura Midin Dover Charif. Because if you're expanding that category from Tznon to others, it's like in Shabbos you have Ovis and Toldos, so the Av Malacha is called Tznon, but there are many Toldos, there are many other vegetables that have the same quality of Charifus. So that's what the Gemara is saying about teret, and therefore if teret silka fits into that category, then whatever kulos you have, like cutting the lefis first, that should apply ipso facto to any dover charif, to tznon as well. Masha enke lefia rashba humefaresh she silka bolas mitnei koach hamashicha betiva velo matzina sheyol chituch lepas. I'm sorry. V'lo matzinu sheyoel chituch lefes ela l'davar sheyesh bo koach hamashich v'lo l'davar charif. There's one thing missing here, and again, I'm going to send a letter to the editor here of Masifta, because I think he disappointed me in one piece of the puzzle. He points out that according to the Sefer HaTruma, tznon is the av, and it's just a prototype of Shar Dvar Macharifin, and then we're going to take Teret and put that into that category. He doesn't explain why the Rashba rejects that idea. Does the Rashba deny that there are other Dvar Macharifin? I mean, we know that the Shumin, what's it called, garlic, and we know about... what else did I mention? Oh yeah, batsal, right, and onions, and there are many vegetables that have a certain charifus to it. Is the Rashba of the opinion that tznon is the only, it's a single member set? Is the only member of the set called dover charif is tznon? If that's what the Rashba is saying, he didn't do a great pedagogic job. He should have clarified that point. Now, the last point here in this footnote, because I want to go on in the Gemara, Boyminei Rav Dimi Mirav Nachman, is that the Torah quotes another point from the Sefer HaTruma. The first point was that we're going to classify Tered under a Dover Charif and equate it with Tznon, and therefore the Chituch of Lefes is Matir, not only Tered, but also Tznon. Now he adds another point from the same Sefer HaTruma. And he says the following. That if we understand that Lefes, when you cut that sweet turnip, it's Mevatel Tam HaBosar from the Tered that's going to come later, is lo nemra din ze el kshechotach tchila lefes. Aval im chotach lechem. What would be the deal if you took the knife, a fleshing knife, and you cut a loaf of bread? Is then also lachtoch bo liachar kanteret. In other words, the Sefer Truma wants to be medayik that Rashi, that same Rashi Chaim that we mentioned before, Dibur Maschil V'I, that the lefes is mevatel the tam of the problematic bosa, the tam that's going into the tered. He wants to say that Rashi is very, very meticulous, very restricted in his understanding of lefes. Lefes has a certain quality of, we'll call it mesikus, that can now be mevatel the harifus of the tered when you cut the tered later. And if it's restricted to lefes, then it's not just that you can take the knife and, you know, start cutting while, you know, take whatever you have a piece of loaf of bread, cut the loaf of bread. It's dafka lefes. So I wanted to add that important point. Okay, boy minei Rav Dimi, mi Rav Nachman, we only have 5 minutes left. Let's see what we can accomplish in those 5 minutes. Maula nuche kada de milcha gabi kada de kamcha. Now let me ask you a question, before we start this sugya. Does everybody here in the room have a salt shaker in their home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does everybody in the room put milchiks on a tablecloth, on a table? Okay. Did anybody ever entertain the possibility that you're not allowed to do both at the same time? You cannot put salt on the same table with milchiks. If you never heard of it, you're going to hear of it now for the first time. So fasten your seatbelts. But I want to tell you the truth. I don't want to disappoint you. Everything I just said to you is bunk. Because our salt shakers is not what the Gemara had in mind. Although, you will see in some traditional families, I don't know, amongst Sfaradim, you'll tell me if they have the same thing, they have the open milchiot that are completely open. Our salt shakers are not a problem. So don't go home and tell your wife, no salt shakers on a milchiot table. But an open salt shaker is a problem, where you put your finger directly into the salt. Maula nuche kada de milcha. Can I take this kad? Now it's interesting. We usually put salt into a very small container. The word kad usually indicates like a jar or a jug. I don't know. They had apparently a large volume of salt. Their salt was also larger than ours. Are you allowed to take this kad shel melech and put it right next to your bowl of kutach of milchiks? Are we afraid that maybe some of the milchiks will get mixed up into the salt? He won't pay any attention to it, and he'll take the salt and he'll use it for meat. He's going to add the salt into his meat. Omar le asur. Rav Nachman says it's asur. We're going to see this codified in Shulchan Aruch. The chalamai. Now the Gemara wants to know, what about chometz? Chometz is vinegar. Are you allowed to put a container, a receptacle of vinegar? Apparently they also had these open vinegar, and then they used to dip the, you know, the bread and so forth, the meat, into the vinegar. And you're allowed to put it next to, right, continuous to, a kad shel kutach. Amalei shari. That you're allowed to do. So Rav Dimi, in all his naivete, he says, Maishna, I don't understand. If you're telling me you're afraid that he may dip his kutach into the salt, and then he doesn't know that he doesn't pay attention to the fact that the salt is milchik. And again, if you remember, we spoke about the ingredients in kutach. Kutach also has bread in it. Like they used to use what's called a pasmu peshes, you know, when the bread was beyond its fresh date, you know, its expiration date. So they would put it into this kutach. So why not say the same thing with regard to vinegar? That maybe some of the kutach will spill into the vinegar, or maybe he'll dip his bread from the kutach into the vinegar, and it's milchik, and then he's going to use this vinegar, and he's going to dip his meat into the vinegar. So Rav Nachman jokes with him. He says, L'chatechol alei kur de milcha. He says, you know when you'll understand the difference? When you can eat a kur of melech. Now a kur is a massive amount of salt. No one can eat a massive amount of salt. But if you can do that, I'll give you an answer to your question. But then, after joking with him a little, he actually reveals the answer. He says, my taima, what is the difference between the two? Hi, in the case of salt, Isa Isura Biene. There's no bittul over here. What does it mean there's no bittul? Bittul only applies when it's eno nikar. Something which is nikar, it's thick, and it doesn't get absorbed, could never be batel. Now what happens is, if some of the kutach, which has a milchika ingredient element to it, spills into the salt, then the milchix is not absorbed into the salt. It always remains a separate entity. It doesn't get dissolved in salt. And we'll talk about this more, Belinetta, tomorrow. But Vahai, but the case of chometz, is that even in the worst case scenario, if some of the kuta falls into the chometz, lesa isura bi'ene. The isur, which means the milchix here, because he's going to then dip his fleshix into the chometz, is not be'en. It's not something that you could see. It's completely dissolved. The Rabbeinu Gershom here adds the words nomes bechometz, that the milchix is nomes. Nomes literally means it melts away, you know, it dissolves into the chometz. The eno nikar, that's the key word here. And therefore, we can assume, since it's eno nikar, that it will lose its tam in the chometz. In other words, again, and we have to understand, is the Gemara referring to 60, there'll be, you know, 60 times in the chometz, or maybe the Gemara means that chometz is such a powerful taste that the kutach, the milchik element in the kutach, will be completely gone and it's eno murgash. But be that as it may, what the Gemara is saying is that even in the worst case scenario, if chas v'shalom, heaven forbid, some of the kuta falls into the vinegar, it's going to be batel. And therefore, since it's eino nikar, and it's going to be batel lagamre, therefore it's not a problem. Again, lechatchila, you wouldn't allow a person to put milchix into vinegar and then use the vinegar for fleshik. But here you're asking me, are you allowed to put the vinegar and the milchix on the same table next to each other? We'll have to see exactly what next to each other means. And the answer is no, because what are you worried about? You're worried about maybe the kutach will spill into the vinegar. Then he's going to use his fleshix in the vinegar. Well, even if he does so, it will be batel anyway. So again, we would not allow you to put the vinegar into milchix and then use it for fleshix. But in the case of putting these two receptacles on the same table near each other, that far we don't have to go. So Belinetta, tomorrow, I want to pick up this sugya over here and see exactly what details we can flesh out about the salt shakers and the vinegar containers and so forth and so on. But also, before I let you